Welcome back into Bullseye on the Afternoon here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM. Time now for us to return to our Budweiser From the Sidelines segment presented by North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. We welcome in Fox 8's very own John Telich. JT, as always, it is a pleasure to have you on. And, well, I'm not so sure if it's a good thing or if it's a bad thing, but the Browns are the last team standing in this head coaching search. And beyond that, we don't know who the general manager is going to be just yet. JT, what do you make of all this? Do you think it's good, bad, or do you think it's in some ways indifferent that the Browns are the last team still looking for a coach?
Well, I know that the emotions of the fans kind of go up and down each day with news of other coaching searches and then candidates that they thought were going to be in the Browns' plans, and then these guys never ended up interviewing in Cleveland. But so far as I know, the original seven names, if you will, and you can also add two more to the San Francisco group there, Mike Daniels, and also, you know, there's one other assistant coach that's been pretty predominant as well. They might have spoken with them, you know, in a real quick fashion, but they weren't official candidates like the defensive coordinator, Robert Saleh, is. But it sounds like everybody that they had in their original plans, those, quote, seven candidates, and then the late one that popped up in Jim Schwartz, the defensive coordinator of the Eagles, who has Cleveland ties, it sounds like they are methodically going through that group. And I would admit to, and I think Browns fans would be as well, Bull, a couple of days or so ago when you heard the options of interviews for Josh McDaniels going to talk to the Panthers potentially, and then also talking to the Giants, and then that all kind of shriveled up quickly when Matt Rhule took the Carolina job and Joe Judge took the New York Giants job. So I think a lot of people probably freaked out at that point, but they have executed their plan so far. Today, Jim Schwartz is talking to the people in Berea, and then the word is Kevin Stefanski. We all know he was quote-unquote left at the altar a year ago. They thought potentially he'd be the guy. He will be spoken to up in Minneapolis tomorrow. And by the way, his potential interviews also kind of poofed into midair besides the Browns. Same thing happened for McDaniels. And then on Friday, according to plan, or according to all reports, they should be talking to Josh McDaniels. So I guess you could one way say a year ago, we did not really have a blueprint as to how Dorsey and company were conducting the search. I think there was a lot of, not cloak and dagger intentionally, but there certainly wasn't as much forthcoming about here's who's in the building today or here is who the team is interviewing. The guidelines I got from the people connected with the Browns were they will happily let you know when they are, you know, talking to a candidate. And that's what they did earlier today when they said we're interviewing Jim Schwartz. They absolutely were interviewing. They said the same thing when McCarthy was in the building, et cetera, et cetera. So they've kind of gone through their game plan, and they're executing it. And I think they're trying to be as thorough as possible to kind of be the antithesis, perhaps, and this is just my theory, of what happened a year ago when they had a process, call it what you want, but even though it looked like they had arrived at a guy that might be the better answer, and that would be Stefanski, they went with John Dorsey's recommendation to, all right, the gut feeling that Freddie gave you, they went with that, and they got burned by it. So I think they're kind of becoming, Bull, the antithesis of what happened a year ago, and they're just going through, you know, they're going through, this is like a, you know, game plan and practice. We're going to work on special teams now, and we're going to do this, and then we're going to go down to that end of the field and work on our two-minute drill. And they're executing their game plan to talk to these people, and it's worked out to where right now they are, quote-unquote, last man standing, and some people are deriding them for that, so they really can't win. But they are the last man standing, and they'll get an opportunity to talk to Josh and to Kevin and Jim Schwartz today. And those guys won't have any ability to say, well, hey, wait a second. You know, I got this situation with this other team here, or there are two more teams who want to talk to me. So in some ways, it's kind of working out well for the Browns in this regard.
Most of the candidates that they've interviewed or at least expressed interest in interviewing seem to make sense on the surface. I think a lot of people were kind of blindsided by the Jim Schwartz idea. Not that he's a bad candidate. He's been a head coach before, and you know, he's had at least some degree of success, but that really kind of seemed like it came out of nowhere. What do you make about interviewing Jim Schwartz?
Yeah, I agree that it did come out of nowhere, because I would say, first of all, Bill Belichick sung the praises. I remember when Jim Schwartz was part of the group of those young lions that were in the front office and working for Bill and working for Peanuts back in from 91 to 95. And he was here from 93 to 95. He was a personnel scout, and he had a great grasp. I can recall talking to Bill about particular people in his front office as far back as, like, you know, 92, 93, 94, and him saying, you know, how he's really happy with the people, and even pointed out a guy like Jim Schwartz, who went through the rent. He did some college coaching. He was a personnel guy, a gopher, a learn the ropes kind of person on a pro team, became an assistant coach elsewhere, got to be a coordinator, got to be a head coach. It wasn't the greatest of showings that he had there in Detroit with the Lions, even with a quote-unquote franchise quarterback. Cast away there, becomes a DC, did a great job DCing the Eagles to the Super Bowl title a couple of years ago, and still with them now. So, you know, why shouldn't he get another chance, swing, you know, get to put his feet in the batter's box and take a couple of swings now after his one and done, if you will, with the Lions? So he's in there. But I was a little surprised his name came up. But he certainly does not lack for the credentials that are necessary to be a head coach, because he's been one. He's been to the playoffs. I would think he probably should have been more successful with a franchise quarterback in Matthew Stafford. But still, he's been there. He knows Cleveland. So that's what he's getting. He's getting the interview today. And as I mentioned before, I mean, they are literally methodically going through this thing. And if they're true to their game plan, they're really being open to discussion. They're open to possibilities and see how this thing plays out. But a little surprised on the Schwartz thing. And again, you could make the statement, the blanket statement, there are no surprises with the Browns, because everything is you just have no idea what they're going to be. So a surprise is kind of the norm, if you will, and you come to realize that. But I just think they're being as methodical as possible, and hopefully for their sake, that they check all the boxes and then come away with a guy they're incredibly comfortable with and go forward.
Well, and right now, they're not competing against anybody else for a head coach. So, I mean, they've got as much time as they need to get this thing done. And maybe that's not a bad thing. But, you know, JT, usually when you go through this process, you get a pretty good idea as to who some of the leaders in the clubhouse are. You don't get any indication on this process as to who the top three even are at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you could speculate all you want. And I think most national pundits and people here in the media here in Northeast Ohio are just assuming that Josh McDaniels, I know Jimmy loves him. I know he liked him. I know he certainly wanted to have him a part of this team as far away as 4 or 5 years ago, when Josh declined to even, you know, do an interview with them or go through the process. And so, you know, there's a desire to see, you know, if he could be the right fit in his second head coaching opportunity in the league. He's 10 years older than he was back when he was 33 in Denver, made a lot of mistakes there. He's incredibly proficient at working with a quarterback. And, lo and behold, here in Cleveland, there is a young quarterback that needs someone to speak frankly with him and get him on the right page. So, you know, he checks a lot of those types of boxes. So, but getting back to your point, all of these, you know, leaders in the clubhouse and all that type of stuff, it's just great media speculation, and if there's any type of gold in our lives here in the media, it's to speculate what may happen. It's what drives a lot of the different platforms of media today, not necessarily just sports talk radio, but it feeds the Twitter machine and the Instagram machine and Facebook and obviously all the networks that have their talking heads. So I think they're being derided in some quarters for taking this long to make a choice, but when you get right down to it, they started the process last Thursday. That was your first interview, Mike McCarthy. He gets hired elsewhere. I thought that two of the real strong candidates were McCarthy and Rivera, and obviously so did two other teams, and that's why they jumped on them. But they started Thursday. They will, by this coming Friday, have interviewed it would be eight people, because they did Roman the same day they did McCarthy. So that's a lot of candidates, and we'll see if they do make the right choice. But if you were to just handicap right now, I guess I would go with McDaniels, Stefanski, and I think the young up-and-coming guy like Robert Saleh out there in San Francisco is very enticing because he's charismatic. He's a young guy. He's fiery. People respect him. He's come up the ladder, worked his butt off to get the opportunities that he has. And, you could also throw Jim Schwartz in there because he's been in the league. He's done, been there, done that. There's a lot of interesting candidates in this whole, what about Eric Bieniemy? I mean, this guy has been a coordinator. Look at the success of the Kansas City Chiefs on their offensive side of the ball, and he's been behind a lot of that. There's so many, guys that check many of the boxes are interesting to become the head coach. But what I'm wondering is, I can recall this, Bull, when Jimmy announced the Sashi Brown the way the setup was going to be, hiring DePodesta, Sashi Brown, they're going to build this team the right way, this is a process. I can remember, Jimmy, at that news conference, I was there the night that was the night they fired Mike Pettine, and then they were starting the dawn of the new era, and this was the dawn of the DePodestas, the numbers boys, the baseball guy, with his input here in football and analytics and all of those types of things. And the one word they used back then was collaborative. They wanted someone in the building that could be a collaborative force, and that's what they saw a young guy in Sashi Brown at being. And then now here we are 5 years later, basically, and the word is aligned. So we've just changed words for kind of the same situation. They need men that are aligned. So right now they're finding guys, interviewing them, seeing how well they align with them, and then if they align with them the best and they can make the proper fit with the defense, with the general manager to be, then that will be fantastic alignment, and perhaps you'll even have success off of that. But until, they're out there on the field this September and then late December, we see what they can do with the talented roster that's already in place. We can conjecture all we want, speculate, and that's basically what we're real good at, and that's what we're doing right now. Not just us in the media, but obviously fans, which, this is the basic, this is football's version of the stovetop, hot stove league, rather, that baseball always has each winter when people are talking about potential trades and free agency and what have you. And it's also part of the NFL being the monstrous machine that they are, where every week of the year, 52 weeks out of the year, there is something big that people are talking about, and this is the week where all these head coaching jobs, and it was not as many this year, a lot of those jobs are being filled.
Again, Fox 8's very own John Telich joining us on the Budweiser From the Sidelines segment presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco. JT, you had mentioned Eric Bieniemy in there, and that's a name that has popped up and become pretty hot on social media over the last couple of days as the Rooney Rule has kind of been reinterjected. And it's one of those deals where, the Rooney Rule was put in place a while back for a specific reason. And I kind of think a lot of people are jumping on board with the idea that maybe it's not necessarily being used the right way.
Yeah, there are some suggestions from national media people, and I'm open to them changing somewhat some way how they go through this process, because it really seems like while it's a great opportunity for a young minority coach to get an interview and to get their name out there and to kind of shoot the awareness of them out to the rest of the football world. That's great. We're still not seeing the fruits of that in terms of head coaches in the league and obviously even front office people per se. Now, I'll sit back here and say Cleveland has had minority head coaches in Romeo Crennel, Hugh Jackson, so on and so forth, and same for individuals in the front office. And so this is not a criticism of the Browns per se, but I think it's of the league in general. However they treat this rule, whatever their intent was when it began, I'm not sure that it's being carried out to the full letter of the law. And so what's the answer? Do you ramp up more and more provisions that people have to put in place in order for other minorities to get chances to be coaches? I don't know. You could go into baseball and say, you know, unless you were a Hall of Fame caliber baseball player or of African-American or of minority descent per se, you're getting fewer opportunities to maybe get into the pipeline and become one day a major league manager. But we're talking football now. I just think, I don't know if I would say it's broke, but there needs to be more attention towards this Rooney rule to carry out more intent for individuals who are minorities to get opportunities to be head football coach. Or we're going to still go through, and the league in some ways is not refreshing itself with new names, exciting provisions for people to be head football coaches. I mean, few teams are taking leaps of faith, let's say like the Pittsburgh Steelers did when they hired a guy who was basically a position coach and then was a defensive coordinator for a short time. You know, I was a coordinator for a short time, and they hired Mike Tomlin, and we know they hit a home run with that. But there have been few cases like what happened in Pittsburgh, and I think that's why it's gotten more and more conversation this year, not just here in Cleveland, but mostly on the national level. Why can't the Rooney Rule push more minority candidates into the fore instead of the way it is now? It needs some kind of improving.
Yes, some sort of improvement, some sort of change to make it so that it's not just another box on the list that they have to check off when they're going through this process. No question about that.
I agree. Yep, yep.
JT, this is the million-dollar question with this whole process, but any idea when you think this is all going to go down? I mean, I think we're at a point now where, again, the Browns are in absolutely no hurry because they're not competing against anybody else to hire a new head coach. You think it's reasonable that next Wednesday or next Friday at this time they'll finally have their guy?
Yeah, I could see a scenario where if they're really happy with how the last three interviews go and they get their consensus, well, they could be pushing late this weekend to have – whoever the winner is of the sweepstakes, if you will, to have them in place. I'm sure they will have already had names provided to them of people that they'd like to get on their staff. And that's the other thing here. While they've been methodical in interviewing these people and making sure they do the process right, they can't be so methodical that they spend, you know, another week more than necessary, and then they're going to miss out on guys getting jobs elsewhere, or which ones on the Browns staff might, you know, Mike Prefer is a great example. This guy did a great job this year. Why would you not want him to stay here in Cleveland? But what if two of those candidates that they really like, and I'm just throwing the names out, McDaniels and or Stefanski, what if they don't have a fit with him? Well, we know Stefanski was up in Minnesota. We know that Prefer was, but I'm just throwing names out here for argument's sake. So they can't waste a lot of time, and if they're strong in their convictions and they have that quote unquote alignment from the new hire to who he wants as the GM, then they go forward and they announce the head coach. And but again, they're not in that much of a hurry to get it done in the next day or so, because as you know, and we've said, everybody else has got their coaches, and so you know they can get their last. Maybe there's a surprise that we don't know about. I don't know. Maybe Josh McDaniels. None of these things we know because everybody's been radio silent, been quiet under the radar. What if, you know, Josh McDaniels has a feeling, or Stefanski or whomever, and they come to the Browns and say, and the Browns really like this guy, it's just not the right time for me. Or if McDaniel says, I'm staying in New England for a couple more years, I'm energized by, you know, what life might be like, you know, if Tom Brady doesn't come back, or if Brady stays, getting the Patriots back to what they were, Super Bowl champions all of 11 and a half months ago, which is, in Cleveland, that would be about 50 years. But, you know, that's how it goes in New England. So I don't know how they're looking at this timeline, if they're thinking it's just going to be something they've got to get done this weekend, or if they're going to make sure everybody's aligned, know with strict confidence that the guy that's suggested by their potential new hire as coach really wants this individual, you know, whether Stefanski, let's say, really wants Andrew Berry, that everybody has pretty much already said is going to happen, but nobody knows for a fact. We're just, again, doing what we do, speculating. So it would make sense if they've had their interviews, they could close this thing up rather quickly once those interviews are done.
Well, for sure, because at some point I think they'd all like to move on and figure out what they're dealing with going into, at the very least, the end of the NFL fiscal year, and then get ready for the draft and so on and so forth. JT, as always, my friend, we appreciate the time. Always great catching up with you. We look forward to doing this again soon.
You got it, buddy. You have a great week.
Thanks. Thanks, JT. You do the same. That's John Telich with Fox 8 joining us on the Budweiser From the Sideline segment presented by North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. We need to take a break, but we will come back with more after this here on Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM.